Greetings, everyone. My name is William Porter. Welcome to this edition of Storytelling Time. This podcast is sponsored by Every Dot Black Entrepreneurs Podcasting Network. We have with us today Mr. Rufus Stevens, a local entrepreneur here in the Raleigh, North Carolina area. Welcome to the show today, Rufus.
Thank you, William. I really appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
I'd like our listeners to know that we're members of a professional writers group here in Raleigh. And Rufus, we'll get to your thoughts on being a writer in just a minute. But before we get to that and what you do as a profession, I'd like for you to tell everyone about your personal background.
Okay, well, I'm a Southerner just recently returning to the South. I was born and raised in Savannah, Georgia, and looking for work, I went north, as so many of us do, and I ended up right outside of in Chicago. And I worked up there for many, many years, and moved back to Savannah after about 11 years, and recognized that old adage is true: you can't go home again. And because I had changed and it had changed. And so I moved back to Chicago area and stayed up there until about 4 years ago. And I was in the food industry working for Kraft Foods and others and school nutrition and that kind of thing. And then sometime around, it must have been the early 2000, I started speaking. And I had written to somebody who I admired a lot, a man named Zig Ziglar, and told him that I wanted to be a speaker. He wrote me back a long letter, in which I just recently found it. And he gave me some things I needed to do. And he also talked to me about my mindset. And I took him up on it, and I started doing it. I started speaking. I joined Toastmasters, and I started contesting, and I won the humorous speech contest for all of Chicago in 1994. I just kind of set the wheels in motion, and I would focus. I always knew I wanted to speak, but I had to put food on the table and roof overhead. And so that kind of thing. So sometime when I retired from that job from the industry, food industry in 2014, and in May of 2015, launched my speaking business called Raising the Roof Communication. And I started speaking then. And I had a sense that I was right exactly where I was supposed to be in life. And it responded well. And then 4 years ago, my wife and I just was a bit of an epiphany that we needed to move. We packed up in Illinois, had just built a house, had lived there about a year. Sold it in 8 days and moved to North Carolina. And it was the best move we've ever made because so many great things have happened since we've got here, not the least of which is that my speaking business took off and I started writing. And we'll get into that in a little bit. But that's a little bit about my background.
Well, you mentioned Toastmasters and you getting started as a speaker there in 2015, and it's kind of interesting, that's when I started as an author in 2015. I published my first book in 2015, and so I guess the rest is history, as they say. But listen, I heard you give a speech a few years ago. I don't know whether you remember it or not, but it was at the Hayti Heritage Center in Durham.
And it was a
great talk.
Thank
and, you know, the funny thing is that it reminded me of the name of your business, and that is Raising mm-hmm. the Roof Communications, mm-hmm. The way you engaged the audience that day. It was really mm-hmm. something special. And by the way, let me say to our listeners that Mr. Stevens has won numerous awards for his presentations, but I'll let him tell you what he does. So, Rufus, tell our listening audience about your profession.
Well, you know, there is there's just something very special I feel when I'm speaking. You know, you hear Michael Jordan talking about being in the zone, and it's almost hard to define, except that you know when you're there. And that I love being on stage, and we're talking to other speakers. It's a, we're a weird bunch because we love what most people are terrified of doing. And I love taking a crowd from somebody who's not sure they even want to be in the room, who doesn't want to let you go when you get to the end and say thank you and good night. And that transformation is wonderful. I'm a storyteller. I love telling stories that support some kind of point I'm making. And so I started communicating with people, and a lot of times you have to, when you're starting out, you have to give away free speeches, you know, to become known and let people know that you bring something of value to the stage, and that's what I did. And then after a while, that transitioned to the point where people were ready to write a check. And I wish I had started this, oh, I don't know, 25 years ago. But I've thought about that, and had I started it 25 years ago, I would not have been ready. Life had to treat me certain ways so that I could speak authentically when I came to the stage. And that's pretty much what I am. I craft speeches. People ask me to speak on subjects. I have a keynote, a signature keynote that's called Now What, that challenges people to embrace change. And then sometimes people want me to speak on other subjects, and I will craft a message that speak to their objectives, and I'll deliver in that kind of format. And here most recently, now we've shifted because nobody's talking to audience in this COVID-19 era. I'm doing virtual speaking. We're speaking in a studio and speaking through Zoom or WebEx, and just not letting COVID-19 defeat us. We do what we do, but we just shift how we do it. So that's kind of where we are at in the speaking business for me.
Well, you mentioned virtual speaking, and I'll ask you about that a little bit more in detail a little later, but you mentioned your love for being on stage, and obviously in 2015, you took the opportunity to become affiliated with Toastmasters. And I read a quote once that said, success is when preparation meets opportunity. As an entrepreneur, tell us how important it is to take advantage of opportunities when they might cross your path to create sustained business success.
Well, you know, William, I think that quote is absolutely true. Because, I mean, a lot of people are chasing for after speaking opportunities. And I heard a guy say one night, his name is Mark Lindquist, and he said one thing. He said, you can do all these things. You can get a website. You can do all these whistle and bells kind of thing. He said, but the best thing you can do for your speaking business is to be ready for the stage, is to get yourself ready. And so I used to spend a lot of time marketing, man, and I've done some, and I still do some of that. But I spend more of my time getting ready for the stage, that preparedness you just talked about. So, that kind of thing happened on one of my first speeches since I moved here. I had posted up a website and working on my preparations and all that kind of stuff. And then I got an email message from somebody in Florida saying, hey, listen, we want you to speak to our organization. We've just seen you. We've been to your webpage. And when I got there, I was ready, and it was a great day and that kind of thing. So it argues for all the – we're in a technological kind of era, and I see a lot of people spending money on whistles and bells and all the digital things, and their time in many cases would be better spent getting ready for the day of preparation – or not preparation, but presentation. Because that's what you'll get paid for, and that's what you'll get judged on.
Well, opportunity certainly is one thing that's very important to not only get started in speaking or any other business venture, but also to sustain that business as you go on. But you mentioned being ready for the stage, and Another important point that I think that we all should consider as far as being successful as a public speaker or any other business venture, and that is preparation. So how important is it to prepare? And you just touched on it, but actually that was one of the factors, or one of the things I was going to mention, and that is preparation as far as being a factor or being something that you should have if you want to be successful in public speaking. So what do you think about that?
I think preparation is critical. And you prepare by, obviously, you've got to consider what your message is going to be, what message you want to get over to this audience. And you have to craft it. You have to craft it. You have to speak before people and have thick enough skin to take the critique when they say, you know what, that may sound good to you, but that doesn't fly. And I've had people tell me, Rufus, I know you like that word, but you're probably only one of three people in the universe that knows what it means, so get rid of it. And so, you know, that's part of the preparation because, you know, we fall in love with our own ideas. We're staying there, it's 9 or 10 o'clock at night, and we're writing like crazy. All this is good stuff. And part of our preparation, we go, and that's why Toastmasters and groups like this are so critically important. I'm a member of Mastermind Speaking Groups, and those are groups that are either advanced Toastmasters groups or groups that are beyond the ums and ahs of Toastmasters and really get into the nuances of public speaking. That's part of the preparation. One of the things I didn't mention, too, in terms of opportunity, one of the things that, as it ties into preparation, is that you've got to put yourself in a place where there are people doing what you want to do. And so, in effect, you make your own opportunity. That's what I did when I came here. Before I moved to North Carolina, I knew what Toastmasters group I was going to join, and I joined it. And I met people, and from those meetings, those people all helped me with my preparation, but they also helped me with my opportunity. I would get a phone call because one of them had recommended me for some opportunity that came up. So meeting people like Toastmasters and like you too, William, that are in the business, and when people think that you have somebody of quality and somebody's looking for somebody, they say, well, why don't you try Rufus? So back to your original point, and your point was the issue of preparation, critically important. I mean, get before people, take the hard knock, and, you know, sharpen the dull points and you know, round off the two sharp points until you become somebody who is who can be received well. And, you know, get to the point of there's something in here, I think it's from my mama, that there's a funny piece that's in me that I don't have to work hard on and people laugh. So, but there are some people who have to really work on the funny. And humor is an essential part of public speaking, and so that's another reason to get with people who tell you that this thing is not as fun as you think it was, or listen, you said something funny and didn't realize it was funny. All that's part of preparation, and you know, it sounds like a whole lot of heavy lifting, and to one degree or another, it is. But if you're going to go before people who are going to write you a check, then you better be worthy of the check.
And I think one thing that you're suggesting is that one reason why people don't do that is because they're afraid of being criticized, and yep. You have to move forward. And we're going to talk about faith a little bit later, but you have mm-hmm. to move forward sometimes being afraid. Of course, as you indicate, you have to prepare. But in addition to that, it requires a certain degree of confidence. So what do you say about being confident as even another factor that is important in contributing to being successful as a public speaker?
I think it's important. I mean, it's like a surgeon or the pilot of your plane. You don't want anybody timid, and you want somebody that's confident. But confidence comes from an appreciation that you've got the goods, that you've done the heavy lifting, and you come to the speaking moment fully capable of doing that. Now, Ask me if I don't have butterflies every time I speak. Yeah, I do. And I'm glad. I hope I never don't have butterflies, because then I become arrogant. But I heard a guy say 20 years ago, he said, I always have butterflies, but they're flying in formation. And I love that, because if you're going to operate, and I have a friend right now who speaks too softly, and we've talked about that, and he finally said, Rufus, I hear what you're talking about. Because people read that as unsure, and so my mouth may say something that's profound, but they're listening, and say, he doesn't believe it, because nothing about him is confidence. So confidence is critically important, but you get confidence when you know what you're doing.
Well, that's true. Knowledge, if you know, as you just indicated, know what you're talking about, then it's much easier. And I believe that feeds confidence.
It does. Yeah. It really does.
Great. Well, there are other factors, I'm sure, and we touched on opportunity, preparation, confidence. And are there any other factors that I may have missed that are important? And I'm sure there are some other things that are critical as far as being a successful public speaker.
I think one thing that's important, I don't think I spoke enough about it, and that's networking. I've met some incredible people, and that means getting up, going to places, and even though I seem outgoing, I'm really uncomfortable meeting people from the outside, much better than I used to be. But you have to get past that inconvenience and walk into a room. There's so many networking opportunities around the triangle, you can't shake a stick at them. And I mean, the wonderful thing about networking is that you're not trying to get anything from anybody. Again, that plays back to your confidence. I'm Rufus Stevens, and William Porter, you probably ought to meet me. So how are you doing? That's the end of it. William, I don't want anything from you. I don't want you to put me in the will or anything like that. I'm just a guy who's shaking your hand, a nice guy. And it's amazing how simple connections like that take you to a place you could have never imagined. So I speak real highly. I have a friend, and she's a friend of yours too, William. Her name is Wendy Gates Corbett.
Yes, I
know her. And she is probably one of the best networkers I've ever met in my life. She knows everybody. And knowing is not enough. She has impacted them that they love her. And so that's been my thing. I want people not just know Rufus, but really care about Rufus as a person. So I think that's critically important to building a speaking career, is networking.
Well, Rufus, I'm sure that there are still even other things that we could mention, but we really need to go on. And
okay.
At this point, I believe that people listening should really be taking notes, or at least retaining in some way some of the information that you're talking about, or everything that you're talking about, especially if they desire to be a public speaker or even an entrepreneur, a successful person in business. So, but anyway, we're going to go ahead and take a break, and we'll be right back. Stay with us. Yeah. Welcome back. We're here with Rufus Stevens, a noted public speaker. I mentioned that I saw you at the Hayti Heritage Center in Durham a few years ago, and you mentioned virtual speeches that are more common, obviously, these days because of the pandemic. How has the pandemic, as a matter of fact, affected your business as far as being a public speaker?
Well, it's affected everybody's business. In fact, in March, when the word came down across the country that, you know, public venues were being shut down, and stadiums and convention centers and banquet halls and things like that were being shut down, that effectively canceled the contracts of thousands of people. And I had a couple of contracts in April and May, and they were immediately canceled. And but one has circled back. And so people, speaker says, okay, this is the lay of the land. Everybody stops and took a breath for a minute and says, okay, so look, we still have great content. The question is, you'll never be sitting before 400 or 500 people in person. So how do we deliver our content? And we got to the point of virtual presentations, which in effect are, it's a studio. And the studio is set up, and it's aesthetically, it's very nice. And you deliver your content. And it's one of the things that's changed for some, not all. Some people want shorter deliveries because now it's WebEx and it's Zoom rather than a person-to-person kind of situation. Some people want, I have one that's in a week, week and a half for a group in Georgia. And they want the full thing. They want the full 50-minute presentation, and then they want a Q&A afterwards. And so that's the new reality right now. And I, one of us, those of us who are on the stage that love it, long for a day that we get people back. And I think maybe by the end of 21, we may be edging back that way. But right now, it's all virtual. It's studio. In some cases, let's say that you were hiring me for an organization you have, William, and so maybe I record that in digital fashion, and I simply give you the file, and you play it when you want to. And that's what a lot of people do. Yeah. That's the new reality right now. And it is what it is. And so we, you know, we're ends oriented, and the goal is to deliver solid content. And so the tweak is how you do it.
But you know, Rufus, adaptation is the key, because you, I'm sure that you did speeches all over the country mm-hmm. before this pandemic. And right. now having to resort to virtual presentations via Zoom is a great change. And so it requires a lot of adaptation mentally and physically even, because I'm sure you don't have to travel a lot of places. And so at least you're saving a lot of money in that sense. I don't know how much you're still flying, but anyway, there are advantages.
Yeah, they are. And there are none. I think probably the biggest one is especially if you're speaking to a file, you're speaking and you're recording it, and you're not even on Zoom or WebEx, you're just speaking to a file. And they will record that and give that to your client, and they will play it whenever they want to. And that was totally devoid of anybody. There's no people, there's no Zoom where you see faces on a square responding, and I guess none of that. And so that's a little challenging, but it's what you do. You know, it's somebody said necessity is the mother of invention, and that's where we are.
As I said earlier, both of us belong to a writer's group here in Raleigh. So in addition to your public speaking, you're a professional writer. And one question yes. that I have is, how often do you write, and what are your goals in writing? Do you aspire to, and I was going to ask you this because you may have a publication already on the New York Times bestseller list.
But, I always.
But is that one of a goal of yours as a writer?
Well, you know what? It's writing, and you know this better than anybody, William. It's communicating thought, and it's a different way of communicating thought. And as a speaker, that thought is communicated on stage. As a writer, it's reduced to words and picture painting and that kind of thing. I started writing the first book to support my speaking business, and after just a short while, it owned me. I released a book in March of this year. It's called Life Lessons from Miss Maddie. And this is a story about my mother, who was a single parent of five kids in the Deep South. She taught school all over Georgia. And about the lessons she taught us and the challenges she faced, because she still loved my father, but he wasn't with us. And so these five kids turn out pretty good. One was the former chair of the music department at the University of Connecticut. Another one is a congressman in Georgia. Another one was a huge administrator. Another one would work for Ma Bell. And then there was me, who was a business owner and preacher and corporate executive. And that wasn't supposed to happen in our family. So So that's what the book is about. But after I got finished it and people were saying, hey, boy, really, I really love that book. And it's a short read. Then I got the bug to keep writing, because I'm working on a book now with my daughter, who is an administrator, educational administrator in Fort Worth, Texas. So we're working on another book right now, which we expect to be released in February, March of next year. But William, I'll tell you, somewhere in the background, I feel it bubbling around in me. I think there's a book of fiction that's out there, because I love drama. And I love all that stuff. I love plot twists and all that kind of stuff. And so I think there's another book like that in me somewhere.
Rufus, I'd like to know, what advice would you give someone who aspires to become an author?
My first word, William, would be commitment. Decide that this thing is going to happen, however long it takes, that you're going to stay with it, because there will be times when you kind of hit a brick wall in terms of thought and that kind of thing. And there will be other times that ideas will feed on ideas, and you can't type fast enough because they're really coming. And so I have a friend that said, hey, listen, make it easy on yourself. Dedicate at least 30 minutes. And if you can do 30 minutes, just do 30 minutes. And he understands that if you can do 30 minutes, what will happen is that it's hard to stop. If you get going, okay, and you start writing, it's hard to stop at 30 minutes. And I don't want to belabor the point, but commitment has to be number one. And then decide that, be clear about what it is you want to write about. If it's fiction, I would say begin with the end in mind. Think about where you want this book to go, and then your writing will establish the roads that it took to get to where it is you want to go. If it's like my book was a book of a bit of a biography about my mother, and it was just facts that I knew about her, and we added the funny factor and the principles and the things she taught us, and so. And my biggest thing was remembering everything. But I committed myself that this book will be finished. I told my editor, I will have it to you by a certain time, and I committed to that. So that's critically important.
But, you know, we mentioned some things earlier about factors being important in public speaking. We mentioned opportunity. We mentioned preparation and a couple of other things. And I would assume that these things would be important in writing as well.
Absolutely. It's interesting how so networking, meeting people, critically important. I'm saying right now to everything in life, you know, it's meeting folks and how opportunity shows up as a result of that. This whole thing of preparation, that's a function of networking with people who help you with thought. I have an editor, and she's a great, I don't have to tell you, William, she's a wonderful editor. Her name is Lee Heinrich. Mm-hmm. And bouncing things off of her as part of my preparation and getting things done was critically important. So, you know, writing a book may seem like it's a lonely prospect, but in truth, it really isn't. If you really want to have the best book you can do, it will involve input of other people and insight and people reading your stuff and giving you honest critique.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and take another break, and when we come back, we'll close the show. Welcome back. We're here with Mr. Rufus Stevens. Let me ask you, do you have any speaking engagements coming up that some of our listeners might consider taking advantage of? And of course, I guess we're talking about Zoom presentations. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah, there is one, but it's not open to the public. It's the Georgia Association of School Nutrition. And that's a closed organization. I will be presenting for them in a virtual format on October 6th. But I suspect that as we go forward and things start to ease up, even in the virtual format, some of the things will be available. I will be posting those on either my webpage or either on Facebook, my Facebook business page. So people will be aware when there's something open to the public that they can access, that it'll be available to them.
Well, speaking of that, I was going to ask you about your contact information, so you can go ahead and give the people that.
Okay. You can reach me. The name of the company is Raising the Roof Communications, and you can reach me at Raising the Roof, and that's RAISIN. No G, Raising the Roof. Roof is RUFE at gmail.com.
Okay.
Or you can contact me by my webpage, and that is simply raisingtheroof.com. Spelled the same way.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you, Rufus, for being with us today, and I'd like to
thank you, William.
Tell our listening audience you're going to be back with us next week. And as I suggested earlier, you're going to talk about your faith. You are an ordained minister, and we're going to talk about some exciting things that are happening in the world today. At least I don't know how exciting they are, but they're happening nonetheless. So
that's true.
We're gonna talk about that. Well, that's all for
thank
today.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, William.
Great. In closing, I just want to say that whatever you may be going through, whether it's good or bad, just keep in mind that there's always more good things coming your way. We'll see you the next time.